Good morning. It's Tuesday, December 30th. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Some farmers are ending the year unsure how they'll pay their bills or buy seed and other supplies for spring.
I'm trying to figure out how to juggle all this.
We'll hear from farmers around the central U.S. about what made 2025 such a tough year and what's ahead. That's coming up after the news. A documentary based on the 2023 police raid of a small-town Kansas newspaper is premiering at the Sundance Film Festival next month. Kothar Shire has more.
The documentary Seized comes more than 2 years after police in Marion, Kansas raided the office of the Marion County Record, as well as the homes of the editor-publisher and others, sparking public outrage. Director and producer Sharon Leese from Overland Park says the film will focus on how the raid impacted the newspaper and community. Multiple lawsuits were filed after the raid, and the county said in November that it will pay a cumulative $3 million to three journalists and a city councilor. The Kansas Reflector reports that Seized will premiere at Sundance from January 22nd through February 1st. It is one of 10 documentaries chosen to compete in its category. I'm Kothar Shire.
In her final year in office, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly says she wants to find a sustainable, dedicated funding source for water programs. Agricultural and environmental factors are rapidly draining the state's water reserves. Scientists worry about the availability of water for drinking and irrigation in the not-too-distant future. In a recent interview, Kelly said her top policy priority in 2026 is bolstering the state's existing water plan for the future.
Getting a water plan in place that would sustain both the quality and quantity of water for Kansans. Knowing that I was able to get that done would make me feel very good about leaving office.
A water task force convened in 2025 will make preliminary recommendations to the legislature in January. A Kansas community is offering more than $200 million of tax incentives to build a toy company's theme park in Wyandotte County. Dylan Lyson of the Kansas News Service reports.
The tax subsidy will help develop the $540 million Mattel Adventure Park in Bonner Springs. It will include attractions featuring toys like Barbie. The public funds mostly come from star bonds, which are paid off by sales tax revenue generated by the project. University of Kansas Associate Professor Zach Moore is an expert on public budgeting and finance. He says the park may lead to more toy purchases and sales tax revenue, but the state is already on the hook for several star bond projects, like the planned stadium for the Kansas City Chiefs.
These projects are committing the state to lots and lots of money.
State officials have argued the star bonds create new tax revenue to fund the projects and do not use existing dollars. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
Wichita experienced the warmest Christmas on record this year and 3 days in a row of record high temperatures. Temperatures in the Wichita area have cooled significantly, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday were the warmest on record for those dates, with highs above 70 degrees. The weather has been tracked in Wichita since 1888. This week's forecast calls for cooler temperatures, with a high today of 46, and tomorrow should hit 52 degrees. Terminal renovations at Eisenhower National Airport will begin next week. The work will include reconfiguring the airport's ticket counters. Officials say the project will help the airport better utilize the space and prepare the area for possible future growth. The renovations will be paid using a mix of federal, state, and local funds. Much of the work will take place during the evening to limit the impact on passengers. The airport set a traffic record in 2024 with almost 2 million passengers. It's on pace to eclipse that number in 2025. Over 20 Kansas state parks will host first-day hikes on Thursday, New Year's Day. Similar events will happen nationally, and they encourage people to enjoy nature and spend time with family. Participating parks in Kansas include El Dorado, Cheney, and Fall River. The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks is reminding people to bring water, snacks, and appropriate clothing. Temperatures on Thursday are expected to be in the 40s. The First Day Hikes program began in Massachusetts in 1992, and now all 50 states participate. A list of parks is at ksoutdoors.gov. An event to showcase historically black colleges and universities will be held Saturday in Wichita. The Wichita HBCU Alumni Collective will host the event at the Boys and Girls Clubs of South Central Kansas. It will run from 2 until 4. The event is intended to let middle and high school students understand what opportunities might be available at HBCU institutions. The program will include panel discussions and speed networking sessions led by HBCU alumni and current students. More information is available on the Boys and Girls Club's Facebook page. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMEW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Across the U.S., 2025 was a hard year to be a farmer. The shakeup of markets and federal programs this year made an already fragile farm economy even more uncertain. As Harvest Public Media's Hope Kerwin reports, producers are still feeling the fallout of these changes and trying to figure out what they mean for 2026.
Under a blanket of snow in western Wisconsin, Craig Meyer's grain bins are full this winter.
Oh, everything here is corn. I rented, it's about 75,000 bushels of storage at a different farm here this fall.
He's holding on to his crop until the spring in order to get a better price, especially for soybeans. It's an unusual decision for Meyer, who spent the last 40 years hauling his crop to a nearby grain terminal at harvest time. But 2025 was an unusual year for most farmers. Across the central U.S., producers faced tight margins, ever-changing global trade conditions, and a shakeup of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and many of its programs. From the start of the year, Meyer knew his margins were going to be tight. Soybean prices have been down since the end of 2023. At the same time, the cost of supplies have continued to rise, from seeds to combines.
Parts, repair bills, fuel, it's hard to get away from the bills because it's stuff you got to have.
Balancing the books became even more challenging for crop farmers when President Donald Trump fulfilled his campaign promise of bringing back tariffs on China and other major trading partners. The Trump administration constantly changed who was paying higher tariffs and on what products. Ag economist Paul Mitchell from the University of Wisconsin-Madison says that had a real impact on producers' ability to plan ahead.
All the farmers heard was uncertainty, uncertainty, uncertainty in the midst of this troubled economic outlook.
And it wasn't just tariffs that were constantly changing. The Trump administration canceled billions of dollars in grants and food assistance programs. Travis Jones grows gourmet mushrooms in southwestern Missouri. He was working to apply for a small business grant to advertise his products beyond the farmers markets he usually sells at. But the program was abruptly canceled in July.
So I'll just give up on that now because I don't have that marketing ability on my side that I would have with that grant.
Trump's USDA also terminated two programs meant to get local food into schools and food banks. Those programs were worth $1 billion. And Nebraska beef producer Jordan Clausen says they provided predictable revenue for farmers.
Being able to purchase from a smaller producer just creates a lot of stability in the business.
Even assistance that wasn't canceled has been affected by the loss of thousands of USDA employees this year. Clausen says she and other farmers are used to going to local agency staff for informal help with projects on the farm or business-related questions.
The people that you're used to talking to are covering 2, 3, 4 people's jobs, and so their availability of time to even have any of these discussions is drastically reduced.
Though staffing issues could complicate rolling out the $12 billion bailout for farmers announced by the Trump administration earlier this month. It's expected to be paid out in February, but many farmers, including Meyer in Wisconsin, say they're not sure it's something they can rely on. As Meyer waits for better prices for his corn and soybeans, he still has to settle his bills for this year and negotiate a loan for 2026. Right now, cash is pretty tight.
This is new territory for me, and so that's why I'm trying to figure out how to juggle all this.
He says the cost of seeds and other inputs isn't getting any lower, and he wonders how long he and other farmers can keep borrowing to get by. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Hope Kerwin.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including KMUW. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.